Hello and welcome to another episode of Dialogues. This is our presentation of a goodly dialogue between knowledge and simplicity, performed by myself and regular dialogist Liza Graham. Thematically, it is similar to the previous text, John Bonn and Master Parson by Luke Shepherd. It is a work of evangelical Protestantism, produced for the print market in the same year, 1548. Edward VI was king, and the climate was good for a mini flourish of such texts. It is a harder text than John Bonn to imagine as a staged performance. The layout of the written text is much more important, and there is a repeated refrain at the close of the very formal verse structure. Missing from this recording are the glosses running parallel with each stanza, rather like the layout of a Rupert Bear cartoon. So you will need to go to our exploring session to hear such glosses as "Simplicity is sorry that ever he came in that city. It is so full of naughtiness." Caveats aside, there is a relationship to mine between the two speakers. Simplicity doesn't represent stupidity, but someone who hasn't learnt the new ways of the evangelical confession. As ever, with this kind of text, a disclaimer that we produce this work to demonstrate this historical moment, and we have no interest in attacking any particular confession or religious practice, because it's all bobbins anyway. So, here is our presentation of a goodly dialogue between knowledge and simplicity, with myself as knowledge and with Liza Graham as simplicity. It was recorded on location in London and mixed and hosted by myself, Robert Crichton. Enjoy. God save you, my friend Simplicity. Oh. I am glad of your good welfare. Ye are right welcome unto the city, for here ye are a stranger very rare. I know the cause of your hither repair. It draweth now toward the term.
Ah.
Ye have some matters for to declare, and what they be, fain would I learn.
I thank you, knowledge, of your good will and of your kindness without desert. But I came hither for no such skill as you have uttered upon your part, but this I thought with all mine heart. When I came hither unto the term, would God I had suffered at home great smart, your fashions be so strange to learn.
I pray you, sir, what is your grief? Hath any man here you offended? Show it shortly in words brief, and if I can, I will see it amended. Your cause by me shall be defended. I will be with you all this term. My counsel towards you shall be bended, your simpleness to teach and learn.
Marry, sir, offended I am indeed, and that in conscience right grievously. I pray God it shortly be remedied. But London sink not, much marvel I, for here is naught else but heresy, blasphemy, and slander all out of frame. That one man affirmeth, another doth deny, against the honour of God's holy name.
Ah, sir, I know the cause well enough, then, of your great grief in your conscience, and I am right glad, for above all men, I have much desired to have your presence. Content you, and shortly ye shall have intelligence, though as yet for a time something be out of frame. At length amongst us shall be no difference, huh? Concerning the honour of God's holy name.
Friend knowledge, that is a thing impossible that ever in one we should agree, so long as we have this bibble. Nay, knowledge, that will not be. Do you not hear and daily see how men old custom despise and blame? Which thing is greatly, as thinketh me, against the honour of God's holy name?
Though old custom hath us long led against God's gospel, manifestly, is it not meet that it should be forbid and also despised utterly? If truth and old custom disagree, shall not truth, old custom, despise and blame, and make him subject to God's verity? Yes, that is the honour of God's holy name.
Will ye, O knowledge, be of that mind? Will ye be of that sort and guise? Will ye begin new ways to find an old custom clean to despise? How say ye, were not our fathers wise? Were they not learned? Ye be to blame. Let their example your mind suffice concerning the honor of God's holy name.
Unto our fathers, God, be merciful. They lived in darkness and we in light. All they were under a cloud, most wonderful. Of the truth they had no perfect sight. But I say, through God's power and might, that cloud is cleared and set in right frame, and all feigned fantasies it shall put to flight, to the honour and praise of God's holy name.
Will ye give me leave to ask you a question, and with my boldness not to be angry? I would be sorry in any condition for to offend you, ye may believe me, and I desire you even heartily, show unto me your opinion again, for we two, I think, shall not agree concerning the honour of God's holy name.
Ask what ye will. And by God's grace, as well as my wit shall serve me, I shall make answer in little space, as I have learned in God's verity. Be not afraid, but speak at liberty. Whatsoever ye say, none shall ye blame. For surely I trust your mind to satisfy concerning the honour of God's holy name.
How say you, I prithee, to the holy mass that long hath been used of antiquity and for many other things I let pass as mass of requiem and scala caeli that delivered our friends' souls from purgatory, with many more masses than I can name, of the five wounds and of Corpus Christi to the honour and praise of God's holy name?
Such masses, I say, are but idolatry, which the Romish Antichrist did invent to blind our eyes with feigned hypocrisy, and all to get money was his intent. What greater blasphemy was ever meant? If masses shall save us, Christ's death is in vain, that suffered for us his flesh to be torment. Honour, therefore, no mass, but God's holy name.
Ah. How say ye then unto the sacrament, which all ye go about to deny, in the host to be bodily present, first as he was born of Mary, and upon the cross as he did die? If ye speak against this, ye are to blame. This our fathers believed, and so do I, to the honour and praise of God's holy name.
The sacrament is an holy thing, but the use thereof was far out of frame, and that self-body on the cross hanging, and born of Mary, that blessed dame, in his corporal presence, I say plain, is not there present. Surely I think the same who teacheth contrary, his doctrine is vain and great dishonour to God's holy name.
Ah, Jesus mercy, what do I hear? Is not he present in the sacrament? How say you, is not God present allwhere? Will you deny the New Testament? And if he be allwhere, I say verament, he is in the sacrament. I abide by the same. Your devilish doctrine the devil did invent to the great dishonor of God's holy name.
Yes, sir, God is present in very deed, as well allwhere as in the sacrament. But that understand in his Godhead, and for example learn this precedent. The soul and the body be things different, but the body destroyed, the soul doth remain. And ye see not the soul, neither yet in the sacrament ye see God's body, but blaspheme his name.
Marry, sir, that is abominable heresy. Is this your new learning and doctrine? What thing can be said that is more blasphemy? You shall never persuade me, brother mine. Doth not the priest from time to time lift up God's body to show us the same? In form of bread, yea, we see it with our eyen, to the honour and praise of God's holy name.
Ye are deceived, poor simplicity, for Christ being offered once for all shall never be offered again, believe me. Our masses, therefore, are most idolatry of all, having no ground in Scripture at all. If you say, you see Christ lift up in the same, you commit most shameful idolatry withal, to the great dishonour of God's holy name.
Our curates command us, in pain of damnation, to believe that Christ's blessed blood and body in the sacrament is present, of the same fashion as he suffered, died, and was born of Mary. And whosoever doth say the contrary, to the bishops they do accuse the same, as one committing most shameful heresy, to the great dishonour of God's holy name.
Your careless curates, whom custom hath blinded, do not well in that thing know what they say. But look in the gospel, and ye shall find it. The selfsame Jesus, born of a May, that was crucified, died, and rose the third day, on his Father's right hand now sitteth plain. His body is only there present, I say. Who saith contrary doth blaspheme his name.
How say you to our fasting days? Are they not most shamefully abused? And what think you of our holidays, which are not meet to be refused? Both palms and ashes are clean confused, and offering of candles o'ergone with them. Are not all these still to be used to the honour and praise of God's holy name?
I say no day more one than other, by God's word, is commanded to fast. And keep you well your Sabbath day, my brother. All other holy days are in waste. Your palms and ashes clean outcast. If ye offer to stock and stone, ye are to blame. They are all but feigned like the wind's blast, and against the honour of God's holy name.
Say ye that feigned is the holy crucifix? And despise ye the holy priest's absolution? Is God's body a feigned God in the pyx? Did not our beads stir us to devotion? Do not the saints make intercession? Doth not our fasting our flesh tame? Our holy bread and holy water give us monition to honour and praise God's holy name.
Of the crucifix an idol ye made, and your priests usurped God's absolution. The bread in the box is no God, I say, and that your beads are very superstition. Your saints can make no intercession, your feigned fasting cannot your flesh tame, your water and bread by conjuration are great dishonour to God's holy name.
And was it not well with us, think ye, when we used our pilgrimage for devotion to holy saints that wrought wonderfully great marvels passing man's expectation? And they helped us in our perturbation. Almost all thing we asked we did obtain. How say ye? Was not this a godly fashion to the honour and praise of God's holy name?
That fashion is devilish and clean contrary to God's commandment, as ye shall see. God said and commanded us very straitly, thou shalt have none other God but me. If ye worship idols of stone or of tree, ye or think they can help you, ye are to blame. For then ye deprive God of his glory, to the great dishonour of his holy name.
Is fasting and prayer of no effect? Did not Christ to us make mention in his gospel by words direct that we should use them for good intention? Yet some men say ye despise the same, and amongst yourselves ye have great dissension, to the great dishonour of God's holy name.
Yes, fasting and prayer are much requisite, as Christ himself did to us exemplify. But I say, in Scripture it is not recite to fast or prayer any time properly, but watch ye and pray ye continually. When the flesh doth prick, then make it tame with fasting. But beware of hypocrisy, for that is dishonour to God's holy name.
Ye learned men first must agree in one, that after your example ourselves we may frame. Then shall we not swerve in any condition, but praise altogether God's holy name.
and I pray God with you in that thing, to set at one all our division, as to his glory shall be pertaining, that all we may agree in one, and no man stick to one opinion. But as God's word shall teach him the same, then shall we not swerve in any condition, but praise all together God's holy name.
Sir, indeed all these are above my reason, and ye be a man well learned, men say. Will ye therefore take pain with me this season, my cumbered conscience to quiet and stay? Ye say we should fast, ye say we should pray, and the supper of the Lord ye praise much the same, to teach me to use the same after the right way, to the honor and praise of God's holy name.
Yea. That I will with all my heart. That is the thing that I ever pretended. If diligently ye will advert, my diligence towards you is bended. Your simpleness hath not me offended, neither my boldness you, I think the same, and I trust your grief shortly to end it, to the honour and praise of God's holy name. First, to your question. How ye should pray. In the sixth of Matthew, learn Christ's doctrine. Pray not for praise, as hypocrites do, I say, but in thy chamber see thyself decline. By thy chamber, thy conscience thou must define. And if that be clean, believe well the same, God will reward thee by his power divine to the honour and praise of God's holy name. But in much babbling esteem no felicity, like as did the Pharisees most blind. Your lady's psalter was mere hypocrisy. By this place of scripture plainly we find, your beads brought prayer clean out of kind. Christ taught a prayer. Let us use the same, devoutly to be said, with heart and mind, to the honour and praise of God's holy name. Your matins and evensong in a strange tongue, your patched masses full of papistry, your shameful sort of ceremonies done, as kneeling and knelling and other many, do they anything you teach to edify? And to pray and think not is but in vain. And to pray and think not is but in vain. The godly prophet herein agreeth with me. All these are dishonour to God's holy name. When thou fastest, saith Christ, be not sorry, as the hypocrites, which pretending gravity, did disfigure their faces superstitiously, that to men's sight they might seem holy. But when thou fastest, do it secretly, not for world's glory, but thy flesh to tame. Then God shall reward thee abundantly to the honour and praise of his holy name. But this is not meant by Friday nor Lent, by the fast of Bernard, nor yet of Our Lady, neither yet of the clouted cloisterer's Advent. For scripture appointeth no time properly. Neither yet of meats maketh he diversity, but biddeth thee fast thy flesh for to tame. At all times, whensoever thy flesh pricketh thee, thus fasting, thou honourest God's holy name. And now, for the holy supper of the Lord, let Paul be your teacher in each degree. Examine your conscience, let your faith accord before ye presume of so high a mystery. For in this point, faith only must be your eye, faith must be your taste, and all your wit's frame. It is in your faith that ye see God's body, to the honour and praise of his holy name. Think not that ye do eat him with your teeth, think not that ye see him with your bodily eye, but eat him and drink him in spirit and faith. For he, yet living, did give his body unto his disciples, and said, eat ye, this is my body. Yet his body plain before their eyes was present corporally. Their faith did suffice their bodily brains. let faith. Therefore, you govern and lead, and in your heart remember his passion, and that he died in very deed, leaving to us for a commemoration his blessed body, of such kind and fashion, that in spirit and faith we should receive the same. Thus doing, you take it to your salvation, to the honour and praise of God's holy name.
I pray God thank you with all mine heart. In these things my conscience is appeased, and in all other I trust soon afterwards my heart by you shall be well eased. The blindness that in me was seized is almost cleared and set in frame, and you I do thank, whom it hath pleased, to teach me to honour God's holy name.
Give the Lord to God, as most worthy is, and not unto man, but unto his name. And pray we for the King's Highness, that God's gospel hath so in frame, that all we may see the truth from the vain, that all we all errors may worthily blame, that all we his kingdom at the last may attain, in bliss all together to praise his holy name. Amen.
In A Goodly Dialogue Between Knowledge and Simplicity, Robert Crichton was Knowledge, and Liza Graham was Simplicity. It was recorded on location in London, mixed and hosted by Robert Crichton. If you've enjoyed this production, consider throwing a little donation at us on ko-fi.com/beyondshakespeare. Or if you'd like to support us long-term, then become a patron at patreon.com/beyondshakespeare. Links in the show description. Goodbye.
Anyone listening out there? Thank you very much.